You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. In these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer, and I specialize in food and science. Now, this podcast is titled Achieving Food Security in the United Arab Emirates, Challenges and Opportunities. Now, if you think that this subject is a little dry, if you pardon the pun, you couldn't be more wrong, because this stuff is fascinating, partly because the UAE could be an extraordinary test case for the most advanced agritech on earth. And it also has the wealth to invest in it, in theory at least. And let's not forget, this is a country where it rains on average just five times a year. Now, joining us to discuss this are Henry Gordon-Smith, CEO of Agritecture.
Hello.
And Hina Kamal, PhD research scholar, Future Food Beacon of Excellence program at the University of Nottingham.
Hello.
Now, Henry, just before we start all this, can you first explain what do we mean when we talk about the phrase food security?
Sure, absolutely. So food security typically refers to the availability of food, so sufficient food for everyone at all times. Accessibility for it, so both physical and economic access to food. Adequacy, is the food nutritious and safe? Acceptability, is the food culturally appropriate for the population? And agency, are there governance structures in place to ensure that food security continues? So these are called the five A's of food security, and that's typically how it's understood.
Yeah. Now, Hina, the UAE is practically the comedy worst case scenario for food security, really, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't make it up. Can you explain to us the various different challenges that it faces? Because it's not just about a lack of rainfall, is it?
Well, you cannot practically negate the factor of having less rainfall in the region. But apart from that, the general approach itself circulating around agriculture and the growth of agriculture and the development of agriculture has not been given the right importance in terms that UAE can be classified as a country that dwells mainly on economic development apart from agriculture. It's just till the last 5 years or so that the country has understood the importance that it has been importing goods from outside, about 90% of them, the edible produce. And now it's thinking in terms of producing, of getting more and more sustainable in the context that as far as the opportunities, as far as the challenges are concerned, I think there is a lack of framework. Like, for example, the government organizations and the corporate sectors and the research institutes, they are working, but they are working individually. They are not working in harmony to each other, because at the moment, the region requires each other to work in a holistic manner to utilize each other's expertise, because what we have in UAE is we have science, we have finance, we have technology. The only missing link is it's the transition, it's the framework. And if that framework is there, no doubt about it, that UAE will be able to overcome not all, but most of its challenges in terms of agriculture.
And why is it the last few years that have been such an important part of pivoting the UAE's approach to this?
I believe it has to do with a lot of factors, both intrinsic and extrinsic. For instance, they have understood that UAE has a part to play globally. And when it has to play a part globally, it has to be sustainable. It has to be self-reliant. I think the government is moving towards being self-reliant and trying to utilize the finances and the science and the expertise that it has within the country, and also procuring it from outside to use it to its benefit. Because if you look at the region itself, it has developed massively in all the areas except agriculture. And this is a not like a switch on and off, or you can construct something. It you're playing with nature. So you have to focus on it in a long term. That's why I said for the past 5 years or so, they have actually, earlier they were into it, but they were more towards specific produce that they had, either in surplus or as waste. And they were just circulating around that. Now they have thought that, okay, we have the means to do it. How about instead of going for shorter practices, we work on long-term goals that are fast track because we have the means and we'll be able to provide food security to our people, not just the people within UAE, but the region itself, because it's a longer game. It starts within. First, you become self-reliant, and then you encompass outwards.
Hmm. Now, Henry, you're talking to us from the UAE currently. Would you say that there is a sort of sense of slight panic of, you know, the world has been very kind to oil rich countries for a long time. There's been a lot of money coming in, and is the UAE now thinking, oh blimey, the oil's going to run out? The world is going to shift away from oil to recyclable energy, like renewable energy. We need to do something about this fast. Is this part of the problem, do you think?
I wouldn't say there's panic. I mean, the UAE has been aware of this issue for a long time. That's why they've diversified away from oil and towards a service-focused industry long before their GCC counterparts. And so they invested in that much earlier than others. So I think that it's not so much about panic as it is about really a data-driven awareness of it. And I think that, you know, that is part of the incentive behind this, of course, is that they understand that the climate change is going to get worse. There are issues around food security and how they compete on the global stage to access quality food for their growing population is going to get more difficult. So I think that food security is really just another layer of the UAE's long-term strategy to diversify its economy.
Yeah. Now, the UAE obviously is a wealthy country. Is it just not possible for them to throw money at the problem and solve it? Or is it a little bit more integrated and complex than that?
Yeah, well, just as my colleague suggested, you know, there it really isn't something that happens quickly. You can't switch on a light and food security is there. Mm. So we really have to foster a culture of valuing food is one of the things on the consumer side, on the investment side, on the government side as well, research as well, over other aspects. That takes time to value those things. It's not as simple as starting one incubator or creating one policy. That culture, you know, needs to really spread across the community so that investment and talent flows into the space. I think that, you know, that foundation of knowledge needed to provide a food secure future for any country is something that the UAE has to catch up on. With that said, I think they are trying to throw money at it. They seem to continue to repeat some of the previous models that comes to food security, whether it's about making enormous announcements about this farm or that farm. And I don't necessarily think that's the right way to go, because I think that they need to really emphasize investing on that, you know, DNA of agriculture and food in the country. That isn't quite there. That's where they should invest first. And I continue to reiterate that message. But I think that they're very used to the culture of making large financial announcements that then say, okay, things are happening here. This is an opportunity for us, and it attracts foreign investment to the space. And that does solve the problem in a short term. You could have a couple of large farms, and we're starting to see that happen here. But again, until Emiratis themselves see a livelihood in agriculture, until they get behind it themselves, that's not where the focus is right now.
Yeah, yeah. And Hina, I mean, what's interesting, but before we go into the details of this a little bit more, I like to talk about the wider concepts. And I mean, the rest of the world can kind of learn from the challenges that UAE faces, because bearing in mind, this dystopian world we're living in, we're heading towards conflict, climate change, manic nationalism, and problems that will cause food security issues across the world. So in a sense, the problems that UAE faces now are possibly ones that will become much more widespread in the future. So this has a much wider importance, doesn't it? They're almost a test case.
I agree with it completely. UAE has always been very proactive and in the forefront when it comes to setting some examples. But this is a difficult and it's a difficult, but it's a doable area. I say difficult in the context because of the climate and the region itself. And also, as Henry mentioned earlier, about the whole changing the whole cultural perspective of it. So as far as your question goes, that it can be considered as a perfect example. But then again, the Emiratis themselves, they have to get induced the idea of sustainability of agriculture as part of their lifestyle. They cannot.
Do I hear a hint of frustration in your voice there, Hina?
Not really. It's just that in terms of cultural practices within the region, it's generally UAE is perceived as a country that has a lot of finances and it solves a lot of problem. But when it comes to something that when we're dealing with, like, for instance, agriculture or produce or even food waste, as a matter of fact, it has to come down. What research studies have shown that it has to come down. It's a consumer driven. It's driven within the society till the society decides that, OK, this is a relevant and a viable source and it needs to be part of our culture. So that thinking needs to be put back into the system, because as far as I understand, or as far as my opinion goes, Emiratis were a part of agriculture in some ways, like in terms of date palms or having camel herds and stuff like that. But that thing has changed over the period of time with the urbanization and with the increase in development and stuff.
Okay, so we've got a unique set of problems to solve it. Henry, can you tell us about some of the most exciting, or at least some of the most appropriate technology that might be the solution to many of the UAE's problems?
Yeah, so as the climate is challenging and the lack of rain and lack of arable land, controlled environment agriculture, which includes high-tech indoor greenhouses that maintain the climate, or the new popular form of vertical farming, which are stacked levels of hydroponic systems with LED lights and complete control. Mm-hmm. These models are gaining a lot of popularity here because a lot of the drivers for those systems, the CapEx heavy methods of producing food in controlled environments are exist in this market. So that makes the economics start to add up. Mm-hmm. And so they're seeing a lot more investment on that. So you've got Pure Harvest, which has multiple large facilities. You've got some local companies like Madar Farms. We had an announcement a few years ago about Emirates, which provides about 250,000 meals a day, investing in a $40 million vertical farm to produce the leafy greens for the salads that go around the world from Dubai. And recently Aero Farms, you know, announced a $100 million research facility in Abu Dhabi as well. So these announcements will continue and this technology will start to manifest here. And this will become one of the hot spots, especially for vertical farming, which is completely controlled, but also for some of these greenhouses. And that's there's a lot of potential for that, but those crops are only a limited selection of the food supply, leafy greens and some vine crops. So, you know, it provides certainly vitamin-rich local produce and grows them using much, much less water, but doesn't solve the whole food security picture overall.
So what we're missing from that, so those are the sort of the high-value crops, really, salads and things like that. But the high-calorific crops, the sort of staples and starches, right, and, you know, rice growing and potatoes and things like that, that presumably is it less appropriate to vertical farming?
It's not commercially viable in vertical farming, and it won't be for multiple, you know, decades, if ever. So, you know, those are going to be products that they have to import. And part of food security is having, you know, good trade relationships. And that's part of how they grow and rise on the food security index. Aquaculture is another area that's very interesting, certainly to, you know, Her Excellency, the Minister of Food Security as well. So there are ways to grow fish organically indoors locally, which could provide protein supply, which could be meaningful. And I guess the last category that I'm particularly interested in, and this relates to my colleagues' points on consumer interests as well, is there are crops that are vitamin rich that are not popularized in the marketplace. So for example, halophytes, which actually grow in the desert and use salt water, could actually be a good source of nutrition for this market. And so, for example, they have things like, sea asparagus is what they call it. Mm. It sort of tastes like salted asparagus, but it has a lot of nutrition and uses very little water and can grow in the desert. So the International Center for Biosaline Agriculture here in Dubai does some research into those crops, sort of alternative crops, which I think, I would like to see more investment into that, because I think that, that responds to the local conditions better than, say, building something to kind of adapt to it.
Yeah. And Hina, I mean, I've spent a fair amount of time in Abu Dhabi, and I don't know the UAE that well, but I've visited there. Now, there's a huge migrant working population there. And does this complicate the issues in terms of, because I thought it was very interesting what you mentioned, that part of food security is culturally appropriate food rather than just, an availability of calories. It's got to be food that works for the nation. Does the demographic makeup of the UAE cause problems, or is that just opportunities to solve?
So I believe that the availability of migrants working in the region will help in favor of UAE in terms of gaining towards food security. In many terms, in terms of labor availability, in terms of finances, in terms of work modules, everything. And I think in the start, it would be very, very beneficial. And I think UAE should capitalize on this, because it will lead it to a positive outcome. I can only see a positive outcome of it, because in UAE, there are different nationalities living in the same region, and they're living in great harmony and they're working in great harmony. So that's an added plus for UAE.
Okay. Now, Henry, I mean, this is a huge opportunity. I'm thinking about a lot of the people that will be listening to this thinking, is this somewhere I should dive into, invest in, exploring the opportunities? Is the UAE a good testbed for technologies? Is there lots of cash sloshing around? If you've got a great idea, is that the place to go to get funding?
I think, again, because of the drivers for this, you've got the policy initiative, you've got the climate challenges, you do have a rising population that a significant portion of it has the ability to pay a premium for food. Yes, the UAE is a good place to pilot and test new agricultural technologies and new businesses related to that. I absolutely believe that. And I think you're going to see more announcements coming in the future about incentives and strategies to attract those companies here. And that can certainly be advantageous. I mean, there's accelerators here where you could come in and live here for 2 years, your entire team's housing could be paid for, you can get investment into your company, introductions to more investors, pay zero taxes over that period. So, these are very, very attractive incentives. And as far as the market's concerned, the UAE represents a lot of places in the future that will get more food insecure as climate change gets worse. There's lots to learn from that way. But it's all about patience. I think that there's a way of doing business in this region, and you have to put some significant investments up front that, in my experience, don't always pay off. And I think for startups and for entrepreneurs involved in food and agriculture, or even larger businesses involved in that, that could be a challenge to make that kind of commitment. So the sales cycle is longer. The focus on relationships is more important. And you have to sort of demonstrate that you're investing in the UAE first, even in a small amount, before they'll invest in you.
Now, Hina, the UAE has invested in the foreign agricultural sector and tried various different initiatives in terms of leasing land abroad. But some of these things haven't worked as well. And is there a risk to that sort of strategy? And does it help stopping the reliance on imports, or does it just sort of make a little workaround that's only a brief solution?
Well, in my opinion, it's a band-aid approach, because what I personally think is that UAE has the resources and has the means within its region to come up with certain means of being having food security. And these are called as short-term goals, short-term initiatives that the government has been doing. It can work, but it's not that effective. And secondly, you have to look at the overall progress of the objective of it. Like the idea is food security and the reduction of food waste and having a self-reliant UAE goal initiative of 2071. If you're looking at that perspective, I believe that these are smaller initiatives that can work, but most likely they won't because of the political situation of the entire world, which can change and can result in negative implications. Saying that, I believe they adopted these principles or policies as part of a smaller initiative to get the ball rolling, to get have an understanding of how the process works. And also because they were trying out at different things, like at a time they are going venturing into foreign lands and then they're venturing into vertical farmings. And slowly, now I think is for the past 2-3 years, they have understood that all these things are there, but they're not long-term and they're not very, very viable for their country's interest. So now I think they have refocused it and now they are focusing more on more intrinsic measures to be taken in this field.
Mm. Now, Henry, it would be wrong of us not to mention COVID-19 at this point. One of the reasons why food security is important is to be able to cope with global crises and interruptions in supply. Has coronavirus exposed any particular weaknesses for the UAE that focus needs to be thrown on?
So certainly COVID-19 has revealed flaws in the food supply chain, a lot of it related to migrant workers that do grow a lot of the food that we depend upon, but also just the issue of having food coming from long distances when there are times of crisis.
And in practical terms, so, did that mean that prices rose or availability dropped or both?
I think that all of the countries in the GCC made significant efforts to avoid the perception that prices would rise. And as countries that have, you know, obviously non-democratic leadership structures, they're able to do that. But there was, for example, onions ran out. And that was a big issue where there were no onions. So you saw sort of these examples of it that did create a lot of anxiety amongst the population. And certainly I got a lot of consulting requests as a result of that. And certainly other countries in the region, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, I mean, they've all created new incentive structures for localization of food to sort of catch up with the UAE, but also the UAE is pushing that even further now. So I would not say that prices did increase for the consumer, but there were gaps in the supply chain of certain crops, which created some alarm. And I think the government is keenly aware of that and is doing whatever they can to avoid that and strengthen the supply chain as one of their various strategies.
Yeah. And Hina, just one other subject that I'd like to touch on, food waste. Now, this is a big concern, and it's been identified as a priority by the Minister of State for Food Security. Now, why is food loss such a problem in the region?
So to provide more clarity on the subject, when we are talking about food loss empirically refers to any food that is, let's say, discarded or incinerated along the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we're talking about food waste, it refers to a decrease in the quality or quantity, which basically results from a consumer action. And if we focus on the research studies that have been done in this region, focusing on the what we call food loss index and the food waste index, we come to a conclusion that it is a consumer-driven problem. Mm-hmm. How so? That there are many research studies focusing on food waste that are generated in developed countries, And they highlight what we call a chain reaction. A chain reaction in terms of with an increase in development and an increase in urbanization, there is an evident increase in buying capacity and also the availability of the produce all year round. So this supply chain action has actually created an adverse effect onto the consumer, onto the nation itself, where when we look at the studies, we come across that about 38% of the waste is generated from the households. Mm-hmm. And this basically, like the point I touched earlier on about being culturally induced to it, this 38% at times due to certain cultural practices or certain festivals or religious festivals, it even increases to about 60%.
That sounds like a huge problem that needs solving. But you know, cultural issues like that are particularly hard to solve, aren't they?
Unless there is a policy. For instance, like when we talk about weddings, at weddings or when we talk about restaurants, about the buffet system and everything, I, on a personal level, I'm highly against those because when we're trying to induce a policy, it should be at every level. And I understand that culturally, it is the difficult task to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, Henry, I think we should probably start to wind this up. And the big question for me, really, is what do you think is likely to be the headline story, the one of the key changes that will start to transform the UAE's food security issues?
Wow, what a question.
solve the world's problems in one sentence, please, if you don't mind, Henry.
What do I think the announcement's going to be that is actually going to make the change, or what do I think the announcements are going to be that are going to be announced?
No, not the announcements, but just the what do you think is the big what's the big issue that's going to solve most of the problems? Is it the building of new farms? Is it technology? Is it cultural change? What's the big issue that will affect the most change using the least the least effort? Low-hanging fruit.
I believe that the people of this country have a great capability to localize their food supply chain. And I think that with the right subsidies, which if we look at the Netherlands, that's also a very small country. And there is potential to create those subsidies here and to create a long-term opportunity. I think that culturally, the Emirati people do have a history of agriculture and that they can get behind it. There's 30,000 family farms in the Emirates. If all of those farms were actually converted into productive farms, that could make a really interesting impact on the food supply chain and the culture of food here. So I think that's what the key would have to be in order to accelerate things really rapidly, in my opinion.
Farming subsidies really is going to be the big factor.
Yeah, like
change.
Dramatically meaningful farming subsidies would make the biggest difference in my opinion. I do think that the long term changes around culture and consumption are very, very important as well. So if I am a consumer and I buy local or I buy less, create an incentive for me to do that. That could transform it as well.
Yeah, I mean subsidies obviously they warp economies. Do you think that the benefits would outweigh the negatives?
I believe so because I believe that there's an importance that a certain percentage of every population needs to have agriculture as part of its economy and its industry that doesn't exist. So I think that subsidy is worth it just to get the minimum requirement needed. You know, there's no other aspect of our society or technology that embraces food, water, energy, and waste more than agriculture. So if you're not engaging in it as a society, you simply don't have a future in sustainable urban development, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. And Hina, what do you think of the low-hanging fruit? What's going to be the things that are most likely to achieve the most change?
The business corporate sector have collaborations with the expertise that are already present in the country in terms of research institutes, universities, researchers, and make it as a long-term initiative. Because what happens is that at the moment, UAE does not have a very constructive agriculture research institute. If UAE is looking towards being self-reliant and having food security, and when we talk about food security, we have to look at all the factors from the produce, from the challenges that happen in the produce, from the waste that is generated, the recycling and the utilization of the waste. All these are contributing factors towards having food security. So all in all, I think UAE needs to have a holistic approach where it incorporates the government, the business sector, and the research institute into a more pragmatic framework where each has its own goal, but they work towards a common goal, that is having food security.
Well, it seems like there's a mountain to climb, but that things are being done and that things are moving in the right direction. Thank you very much. Now, you've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and you heard from Henry Gordon-Smith and Hina Kamal and me, Stephen Gates. Thank you both so much for joining us for this one. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from salmon farm sustainability to apprenticeships. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.